Thank you, Matthew, for leading tonight. Thank you again to Joel for giving his testimony. And he was nervous. We know he was nervous, but he did really well. And it's such an encouragement to hear these young people speaking about their Lord and Savior, speaking about how the Lord has blessed them, how the Lord keeps them. And that should be an encouragement to all of us who know the Lord, to keep pressing on, to keep encouraging these young people in their walk with the Lord. I want to thank also Noah and Shelley and Martha for leading the singing for us again this evening. And it's good again to have them willing and able to do that for us. I just want to read a few verses from Ephesians chapter 2 this evening. We're come to the last of our drive-in services for this season, and I just want to once again take this opportunity to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul is writing, and he says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Amen. We know God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts again this evening. As I say, the Apostle Paul is writing here in this letter. He's writing to the church in the city of Ephesus. And there are many things that he deals with in this letter, but he's dealing in this section with the issue of different people from different backgrounds coming and trusting in Christ Jesus. It was causing some confusion in the church, and Paul reminds them that whatever background they've come from, whether they've come from a Jewish background, whether they've come from a Gentile background, there was only one way that they had come to know Jesus Christ. In verses 12 and 13, Paul outlines here that we all begin in the same place. We all begin as sinners. We all begin without Christ. But the gospel brings those who trust in it. The gospel points us to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings us to another place in verse 13, that we are in Christ Jesus. Contextually, it's speaking about the difference between the Jews and the Gentiles in regard to the promise of a Messiah. But while that is the key purpose of Paul writing this passage, there is a practical gospel truth which is to be seen in these verses 12 and 13. And I want us very briefly this evening just to think about three things from these verses. I want you to notice, first of all, the position that we all begin. The position that we all begin. In verse 12, Paul says, "Ye were without Christ," and he finishes that verse saying, "having no hope and without God." You were without Christ,
having no hope and without God. Can I say to you this evening that that is the starting point for every person who's here tonight? That's the starting point for everyone who listens to this message, everyone who's listening online, everyone who's sitting in their car, perhaps even there are those who are within earshot. Everyone who hears my voice tonight, our starting point is that we were without Christ, that we were having no hope and without God. The Apostle Paul tells us that here. That's the natural state. The natural state of each person who's born is that we are born as sinners. We are born in a lost state. We are born without Christ. We are born as enemies of God. And that's because of our sin. And it brings separation from God. Sin causes that separation. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2, the prophet Isaiah wrote these words. He says, "Your iniquities or your transgressions or your sins have separated between you and your God." Your sin, my sin, all of our sin. As individuals, when we consider these things, the Bible tells us that we're all sinners. And because of sin, we're born separated from God. Because of sin, we fall short of God's glory, of God's holy, perfect standard. That's where we begin. And Paul's speaking in this letter about the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's writing to Christians in this case, but while he's writing to Christians, he is reminding them that there had been a time when they had been without Christ. That time when Christ was not Lord of their life. That time when he was not their Savior. That time when he was not the one who they had trusted in, and they were not saved. And because they weren't saved, they had no hope. They had no hope for eternity. They had no hope for living. They had no hope and no security and no peace because they were without God. And folks, tonight, listen, let's understand this. That natural condition of mankind, that place where we were born without Christ, that place where we were born as sinners who are in opposition to God, that's a hopeless place. It's a hopeless condition. There's no peace without Christ. There's no hope without Christ. There's no assurance without Christ. In fact, in verse 13, as the Apostle Paul wrote and continued on here, he said, "Ye who were sometime far off," far from God, no thought of God, no consideration of him, didn't know God. Some people think that their efforts, that their works, that their own attempts will bring them to God, will perhaps bring them close to God. And they try and work it out by being good. They try and work it out with their own efforts. But the reality is that without Jesus, you're far off from God. An enemy of God. The Bible tells us that whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Can I tell you tonight, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're an enemy of God. If you're trying to stay as a friend of the world, if you're trying to hold on to the things of the world and you're putting them before your eternal soul, if you're putting them before your need of salvation, you're an enemy of God. The Lord Jesus Christ can be your Savior tonight. But if you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you continue to live in your sin, if you hold on to your sin, if you love your sin, if you love the things of the world, if you give no thought to your eternal soul, your condition is without Christ. You're still in that same condition. You're still without hope. You're still far from God. Friend, tonight, as you listen to me, is that your condition? Are you still in that base condition that you began in? that natural condition of all mankind to be far from God and without Christ and without hope. That's the position where we all began. But Paul talks here about the place we need to be. In verse 13, he says, "But now in Christ Jesus." There's a change very quickly in verse 13 as Paul begins this verse. Because in verse 12, he talked about what they had been. But then he brings it into the present tense. He says, "But now in Christ Jesus." His letter is written to Christian people in the church in Ephesus. It's a letter of assurance to them. He's reminding them that they now have hope. He's reminding them they now have life in Christ. He's reminding them they're no longer far from God. They're no longer far off. And Paul highlights what it was and what it is that made the difference. It's the fact that they are in Christ Jesus. It's Jesus who makes the difference. It's the work of Christ that has made the difference. For those of us who are here tonight who know Christ as our Savior, it's Christ who made the difference. As Joel stood here tonight and gave us testimony, and over these past 8 weeks, as various young people from our fellowship have given testimony, it's Christ who made the difference. He changed everything. He changed their life. He changed our condition. He changed our eternity. Lostness is gone, no longer lost. Now in Christ Jesus. Simply it means they're secure because of the work of Christ, the work of the cross. Friend, tonight the Lord Jesus Christ came to deal with the hopeless. He came to deal with the lost. He came to deal with sin. He came to redeem you and to redeem me. That's why he went to a cross. He lived on this earth. He lived a perfect life. A sinless life. I often quote those words where the Bible says that he was holy, harmless, and undefiled. And yet that perfect, sinless Son of God stood in the place of the guilty. Everyone who was lost in sin, he stood in their place. He made that great sacrifice, a greater sacrifice than anyone else could ever have made. And he did it for us. Entirely innocent he was. Perfect. Upright in the sight of his Father in heaven. He had a standing that no one else could ever measure up to. And yet he went to the cross. And there on that cross he paid the price as a substitute for guilty sinners. And it's only because of his finished work. It's only because Jesus Christ became the willing sacrifice at the cross. It's only because he paid the price for our salvation that any one of us can be delivered. We've been delivered by Christ. And tonight as you listen to this message, there is a reality for you to face. For every single one of us, you're either without Christ or you're in Christ. There's no middle ground. There's no halfway point. You can't have one foot in heaven and one foot in hell. You can't have one half of your life in the world and living for the things of this world and the other half thinking that you're saved. There is no one half saved. You're either saved or you're not. You're either redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ or you're lost. Where are you tonight? What's your condition? Are you without Christ or are you in Christ? Are you still in that place where you began? Are you still separated from God because of your sin? I want to finish tonight by telling you how you can move from that place and how you can come to be in Christ, to tell you how you can be saved. You see, to get from where you are to where you need to be, there's only one way. There's a position we all begin. There's a place we need to be, and there's the pathway we must take. Look at the end of verse 13. We are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That speaks about a sacrifice. That speaks about what Christ did at the cross. It's not enough to say Jesus came and he lived a good life on this earth and he was a good example, and if I follow his example, that'll be good enough. It's not enough to say that. At the start of our meeting this evening, the young people sang that new hymn, "There is one gospel on which I stand, all else I count as loss." And that is the simple truth. There is one gospel. There is one message. There's one way of salvation. And it's only through the cross. One way to come to God. Apostle Paul here tells the Ephesian Christians that they had been made nigh by the blood of Christ. It's a word of assurance to them. A word of comfort to them. He's reminding them of the cross. He's reminding them of the price that Jesus paid so that they could go free. And it wasn't simply a case of Jesus saying, "I'll take their punishment." It was greater than that. It was a case whereby he left heaven and he came and he lived as a man upon this earth, and he knew no sin, and he became sin for us. That simply means he took the judgment and the punishment for our sins upon himself. And there on that cross, he suffered, he bled, and he died. He did it to save you. He did it to save me. One preacher puts it like this: before we can enjoy the nearness of God, we must be cleansed from our sin. And that can only be done by the blood of Christ. Over in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, the Word of God says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." The blood of Christ. Not our efforts. Not our so-called righteousness. Not the best that we can do or the best that we can be. But very simply, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's the only way of salvation. Good works aren't enough. Money's not enough. For these last 8 Sunday evenings, we've had drive-in services, and you've come along perhaps and parked up in the car park and you've listened, but you're not saved. Or you've been walking past and you've heard that your sin separates you from God, but that Christ died for the ungodly. And you've heard all that. You've heard that the only way of salvation is by coming and putting your trust in the work of Christ as he went to the cross and took your place. That's the pathway. You have to come by the blood-stained way. You have to come by the way of the cross. As we have listened over these past 8 weeks, as some of our young people tell how they came to trust in Jesus. And maybe you've been challenged by it. Maybe you've been encouraged by it. Maybe it has been nice to sit and listen to them and think, isn't it lovely that they can stand up and say that? But here's the thing, while you're thinking that about them, you don't know Jesus. You don't know the Savior. You've never trusted in him. You've never confessed your sin. You've never come and said you need God's salvation. And yet you can. You must accept that you're a sinner. You must accept that Christ died on the cross. You must accept that he shed his blood to save you from your sin. And you must believe that the work of Christ at the cross is sufficient to save you. And you must come and confess before God your need of salvation. That's the way. That's the only way. That's the pathway. There's a position where we all began. Separated from God. There's the place we need to be. That's in Christ. And there's a path that we must take. It's through the work of the cross that we might be made nigh by the blood of Christ. Are you in Christ tonight? Or are you without Christ? That's the question that you have to answer. It's not for me or anyone else to answer that question for you. It's for you personally to answer that question. Are you in Christ or are you without him? You don't have to be without Christ. You can come tonight and you can be saved. You can come and you can be redeemed. Your sin can be dealt with. You just need to call upon the Savior. You need to call unto him for salvation. Tell him that you're sorry for your sin. Tell him that you want to be in Christ, that you want to be redeemed. And he will save you, because he's promised that him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come to the Savior tonight. Don't drive out again without Jesus.